up in this one. Any minute she's going to turn around and scream. Sardines would probably treat it as applause, too. He lived life as if it was a performance. Other rats just ran around squeaking and messing up things, and that was quite good enough to convince humans there was a plague, but oh no. Sardines always had to go further. Sardines and his yarrow song and dance act. And the rats take everything, Melissa was saying. What they don't take, they spoil. It's been terrible. We have to buy corn and stuff from the traders that sail up the river. That's why bread is so expensive. Expensive, eh? Said Morris. We've tried traps and dogs and cats and poison, and still the rats keep coming, said the girl. They've learned to be really sneaky, too. They hardly ever end up in our traps anymore. What's the good of the rat catchers offering us 50p a tail if the rats are so cunning? The rat catchers have to use all kind of tricks to get them, they say. Behind her, Sardines looked carefully around the room and then signalled to the rats in the ceiling to pull the rope up. "Don't you think this would be a good time to go away?" said Morris. "Why are you making faces like that?" said Melissa, staring at him. "Oh, well, you know that kind of cat that grins all the time? Heard of that? Well, I'm the kind that makes, you know, weird faces," said Morris desperately. "And sometimes I just burst out and say things, 'Get away, get away! See, I did it again. It is an affliction. I probably need counselling. Oh, no, don't do that. This is not the time to do that. Whoops, there I go again." Sardines had pulled his straw hat out of his knapsack and was holding a small walking stick. It was a good routine, even Morris had to admit. Some towns had advertised for a rat piper the very first time he'd done it. People could tolerate rats in the cream and rats in the roof and rats in the teapot, but they drew the line at tap dancing. If you saw tap dancing rats, you were in big trouble. Morris had reckoned that if only the rats could play an accordion as well, they could do two towns a day. He'd stared for too long. Melissa turned and her mouth opened in shock and horror as Sardines went into his routine. The cat saw her hand reach out for a pan that was on the table. She threw it very accurately. But Sardines was a good pot dodger. The rats were used to having things thrown at them. He was already running when the pan was halfway across the room, and then he leapt onto the chair, and then he jumped onto the floor, and then he dodged behind the dresser, and then there was a sharp, final, metallic snap. "Ha!" said Melissa, and Morris and Keith stared at the dresser. "That's one rat less at any rate. I really hate them."
"It was Sardines," said Keith.
"No, it was definitely a rat," said Melissa. "Sardines hardly ever invade a kitchen. I expect you're thinking about the plague of lobsters over in—" "He just called himself Sardines because he saw the name on a rusty old tin and thought it sounded stylish," said Morris. He wondered if he dare look behind the dresser.
"He was a good rat," said Keith. "He used to steal books for me when they were teaching me to read."
"Excuse me, are you mad?" said Melissa.
"It was a rat. The only good rat is a dead rat."
"Hello,"
said a little voice. It came from behind the dresser.
"It can't be alive. It's a huge trap," said Melissa. "It's got teeth."
"Anyone there? Only the stick is bending," said the voice. The dresser was massive, the wood so old that time had turned it black and as solid and heavy as stone.
"That's not a rat talking, is it?" said Melissa. "Please tell me rats can't talk."
"In fact, it's bending quite a bit now," said the voice, which was slightly muffled.
Morris squinted into the space behind the dresser.
"I can see him," he said. "He wedged the stick and the jaws as they closed. Watch us, Sardines. How you doing?"
"Fine, boss," said Sardines in the gloom. "If it wasn't for this trap, I'd say everything was perfect. Did I mention the stick is bending?"
Yes, you did."
"It's bent some more since then, boss."
Keith grabbed one end of the dresser and grunted as he tried to move it.
"It's like rock," he said.
"It's full of crockery," said Melissa, now quite bewildered. "But rats don't really talk, do they?"
"Get out of the way," shouted Keith.
He grabbed the back edge of the dresser with both hands and braced one foot against the wall and heaved. Slowly, like a mighty forest tree, the dresser pitched forward. The crockery started to fall out as it tipped, plate slipping off plate in one glorious, chaotic deal from a very expensive pack of cards. Even so, some of them survived the fall onto the floor, and so did some of the cups and saucers as the cupboard opened and added to the fun. But that didn't make any difference, because then the huge, heavy woodwork thundered down on top of them. One miraculously whole plate rolled past Keith, spinning round and round and getting close to the floor with the groy.